And all of a sudden, Asaph comes in.
Oh, a big pot of delicious beans. I'm so hungry. I want to eat that. Give it to me now.
And Yaakov says, but Asaph, you know, I mean, you have to wait. This is for the family. I can't give this to you right now.
No, I want it right now. I'm starving. Give it to me.
And all of a sudden, Kinelach, Yaakov saw a chance now to get back his firstborn. Now remember, Yaakov Kinelach was born number two, but he wanted to be the firstborn. He knew that there's more brachas to be the firstborn. He knew that he should have been the firstborn, and that Esav just took it away, and Esav will not use... See, is Yaakov jealous of Esav that he'll get the brachas, or he knows he's not going to use them in the right way? He's not going to use it in the right way. And Yaakov knows in himself that he would appreciate and use the brachas for Halakite and for Hashem, and not in the wrong way. That's why he wanted to get back the Bechaira for himself, that it should be in the right place for Hashem. And he says to Esav, you know what, Esav, you want the beans? I'll sell it to you.
What? Sell it for money? Oh, okay. I'll go into my room and get money. No problem.
No, I don't want money. You don't want money, so what do you want?
I want the firstborn, the Bechaira.
What, says Esav? Yeah. I want you to sell it to me that if I give you the beans, you'll give me the right to be the Bechaira, that you'll make me the firstborn and not you. That's going to be the price you have to pay for the beans. And Esav starts to laugh.
It's not worth anything anyway. What's the big deal? Who needs it anyway? What's it? Brachas and all these things. I have money. What I need? What do I need? Brachas. And besides, one of the things of the Bechaira is that you're not allowed to be shikr. Because if I have to go work in the base of Mikdash, I can't be shikr. And I love to drink. I love to drink all kinds of stuff and get shikr. So it's not worth me that I should give that up, that I have to go and work in the base of Mikdash. Forget about it. You could have the Bechaira. I'll give it to you.
And Kinelach, Yaakov made Esav write out clearly, exactly, that the Bechaira now belongs to Yaakov and not Esav. And Esav did it. And he sits down by the table and he did not wash. And he did not make a bracha. He opened up his mouth and he says to Yaakov, pour down the pot of beans in my mouth. Just pour it down. Didn't even take a spoon, not even a bowl, not even a napkin. And it says like he opened up his mouth like a camel. And he says to Yaakov, just pour down the whole pot into my mouth. I'm just going to eat it. And he eats the whole pot of beans. And he didn't make a bracha achreina. And he got up out of the room laughing. And of course he didn't even kush the mezuzah. And then he goes to his friends. And he starts teasing about Yaakov. And that he sold him the Bechaira, in other words, for nothing, for a pot of beans, and he's laughing, and his friends come and start teasing Yaakov and making fun of him. Did Yaakov care what people say to him, or he knew that he did the right thing and the halakha thing? That's right. Now, if you remember, in last week's Parsha, in Toldos, the last thing was Yaakov ran away because Esav wanted to kill him, because Esav said that Yaakov tricked him out of the brachas. And Rivka, with Ruach HaKodesh, knew what Esav was thinking in his heart, and she said that Yaakov should run away to Lavan. And Lavan still lived in Haran, far, far away. And he should go over there and live with Lavan. And Yaakov knew that Lavan was a big cheater and a big Rasha. And he didn't want to just go straight to Lavan and have to chas v'shalem be close to such a cheater and a rasha and all of his tricks. What kind of a koyach does a person need in order to deal with chas v'shalem not good things? You need a koyach to stay above it and not be chas v'shalem brought down and be like people or the things they do if they're doing not good. In other words, that's like darkness. Chas v'shalem, avedas, and not good things is like darkness. What is the koyach, the best koyach, that goes against darkness and that will take a person above darkness? What is that koyach? A big stick in order to poke the darkness and to hit it and to chase it away? No, the Baal Shem Tov says you cannot get rid of darkness with a stick. What is the koyach that a person will be protected against darkness?
From light.
From light. Very good. Because when you have light, the darkness cannot be there. And so Yaakov went now to yeshiva. The yeshiva of Shem and Aver. Now, Shem had already passed away. And now Aver was the Rosh Yeshiva. And Yaakov started learning Torah over there day and night for 14 years. And in fact, he's learned so much, he never slept in a bed for 14 years. He would just fall asleep by the table, and he would wake up and go on learning. And then if he got tired again, he fell asleep on the table. For 14 years, he never slept one time in a bed. Never put on pajamas. And after 14 years, Yaakov decided it is time to go to Haran, to Lavan. And also with Ruach HaKodesh, he knows that from him is going to come 12 Shvatim, 12 tribes, 12 tzaddikim, that each one is going to have a group of Yidden, that from them is going to be a Shevet. And he's going to get married in Haran. Now Yaakov was allowed to go to Haran, which was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Avram also, if you remember, went outside of Eretz Yisrael. Which one of the Avos never went outside of Eretz Yisrael?
Yitzchak.
Right. Why didn't Yitzchak go outside of Eretz Yisrael?
Because he was a big tzaddik.
Well, also Avram and Yaakov were big tzaddikim.
Because he was halak like a korban.
Was he like a korban or was mamish a korban?
Mamish a korban.
He was a korban, and he never, so he could not go outside of Eretz Yisrael. Korbanos have special dinim. Now, as Yaakov was passing by on the way to Haran, he passed by the mountain called Har HaMoriah, which we all know is the Halakha mountain that Avram took Yitzchak for the Akedah, and all the other things that happened there with the Mizbeach. And Yaakov and Yitzchak and Rivka had davened over there for a baby, remember?
Yeah.
He passed by, and he forgot to stop to daven over there. Now, the Eibishter felt a little bit bad. The Eibishter was upset because, you know, here is such a halakha place that Adam had made a korban, and Noach and Cain and Hevel had made a korban. His Zaydi, Avram, brought his father Yitzchak to the Akedah, and his father and his mother had davened there to have the bracha for the children, and here he didn't even stop. So what Hashem did was he picked up the mountain and he brought it in front of Yaakov as he's going, and all of a sudden Yaakov came to the same mountain. He says, didn't I just see this mountain? I wonder what it's doing here again. I thought I just passed this mountain. I thought I passed it a long time ago. All of a sudden, this mountain comes. I see this mountain again. I don't understand. I was just here. And he still didn't stop. All of a sudden, now, the sun is in the sky. Let's say the sun is way up here. How long does it take for the sun to go down? The sun is way up in the sky. let's say around 12 o'clock, and the sun sets, it depends if it's summer or the winter, but it takes a few hours, right, for it to go down. All of a sudden, the sun went like this. The sun set. It dropped out of the sky. It became night. Just like that, it became night. Okay, this is very strange. All of a sudden, it's night. You know, a minute ago, it was day. Usually, it becomes gradually darker. And it gets a little bit darker. Then it becomes evening, which is mixing the day and the night. Then it becomes night. All of a sudden, from bright day, boom, night. Then he says, I have no choice. I cannot travel on the road. I will have to stay on this mountain for the night. And he goes on the mountain. And he says, I have to sleep over here on the mountain. And he looks around. There's no place to stay. Now, in those days, especially, there were wild animals all over the place. Tigers and lions and all kinds of wild animals. And biting animals and dangerous animals. And he's afraid if he's going to go to sleep and not be protected, so wild animals, Chas v'Shalom, might attack him in the night. So he decided he's got to do something to protect himself. And he found over there something like a table with 12 stones. What do you think that table with the 12 stones is?
From the Mizbeach, from Aaron and Adam and Noah.
Very nice. He took the 12 stones. He didn't exactly know what that was. He didn't recognize the place yet. And he made a thing around his head out of the 12 stones. Now, why just around his head? To protect his head from the wild animals. He didn't make it around his whole body. He made it around his head because he knew if he's sleeping, the animals will go first to get his head. And he said, I'll put this around my head and I'll go to sleep over here. So he made a thing around his head, like a little house out of the 12 stones. And the Medrash says that as he was sleeping, the 12 stones started to argue because his head was only on one and the other 11 were around his head. So in other words, the tzaddik only put his head only on one and the other 11 didn't get a chance. And each one of those stones wanted to get a chance. Move over. I want to be under Yaakov's head. He's a big tzaddik. I want him to sleep on me like a pillow. And the other one says, no. I want to turn. Move over. I want to go over there. And the one under him says, I'm too bad. I'm under the tzaddik's head. You just have to wait and watch. You could look. But I get to be under the tzaddik's head to be his pillow. It's no fair. I don't even get a chance. Start arguing. All of a sudden, they all became like one. It was like one stone, so like each stone had a chance to be under his head. Now, these 12 stones also, each one was going for a different shevet, which would be born in the future. And it shows that even though the Yidden are 12 different shvatim, 12 different kinds of Yidden, are we separate or we're all one? We're all one. Even though Jews are different, there's different kinds of Yidden, but we're all one Jewish people. It's called Achdus. And Yaakov fell asleep and he had a dream. And he saw in the dream a ladder going from the earth up into the Shemayim. And this ladder had many different things going on and happening, and there are many different parts of this dream, which I'll tell you a few of them. And the first thing he noticed was the ladder had malachim first going up and then going down. And he wondered, wait a minute. First of all, to see malachim, I mean, it's a very special thing only a Halak Tzaddik could do. But if you do see a malach, you know that where do malachim come from? The Himmel. And the malachim come to the earth. So he thought to himself, first they should be going down the ladder from the Shemayim and then going back up. But they were going the opposite. First they were going up and then going down. And the Torah says that when a person goes, like I told you once, Malachim go with you. Not only a big tzaddik, all of us also have our Malachim that go with us. We don't see them. A big tzaddik like Yaakov had special Malachim and he could see them. And the Malachim that were in Eretz Yisrael only go with him when he's in Eretz Yisrael. And he was going outside of Eretz Yisrael now. So the ones that were going in with him in Eretz Yisrael were leaving. And the ones from Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, were coming down. So they were Malachim that were already going with him in the world. Now, one of the things Yaakov saw on the ladder was the future until Mashiach comes. And this is now different than what he saw with the four steps in the ladder. That we said that the ladder was the ladder of davening with four steps. That's also true. But he saw many different things during the dream with the ladder. There's a picture in your coloring book also about this. You can color it either today or Maitzi Shabbos or next week. Now, as Yaakov is sleeping, he sees a very scary looking malach. And this is a malach from the Yetzirah. This is a malach, one of the malachim of Golos. The malach starts climbing up the ladder, and it looked very, very scary. And on the malach was written the word Bavel. Because this is the malach of Golos Bavel that put the Jews into the Golos by Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first base of Mikdash on Tisha B'Av, and he took the Yidden to Bavel, and they're in Golos, away from Eretz Israel. All kinds of terrible things happened during that time. And Yaakov is wondering, oi, the Yidden are in Golos. Will they ever go back to Eretz Israel? And the Malach climbed up 70 steps. It stopped, and then it started going down. Which this means that after 70 years, the Golos of Bavel finished, and the Yidden get to go back to Eretz Israel. And it was, he's seeing what's going to happen in the future. And Yaakov felt much better. Baruch Hashem, the Golos is over. Okay, the Yidden did tshuva, they went back. All of a sudden, there was another malach that went up. And over there in its head it says, Paras u'modai, or just modai. And it climbs up. Now, this is a different galus after Bavel. And if you remember, Ahasuerus was the king, it says in Paras u'modai, a different galus, and this malach went up 50 steps, or some say 52 steps. And then it started to go down, which means that that galus is going to be for 50 years or 52 years, and then the malach goes down. And then he saw a third malach. Scary, ugly looking Yetzirah malach of galus. And he starts to go up the ladder, higher and higher, 100 steps, or some say 120 steps, depends how you count. But he went up so many steps, and on his head it said over there, Yavan. Who were the Yavanim? In the time of Hanukkah. They were the people that put the Yidden in Golos in the time of Hanukkah, the Yavanim. And Yavan had a koyach over the Jews, until, of course, Yehuda HaMaccabi and the Maccabees went and they went against the Yavanim, the Hashmonaim went against them. And this lasted for 100 or 120 years, depending on you count, how you count. And that Golos finished. Three Golos so far. And then the ugliest, scariest, most horrible-looking malach that you ever saw in your whole life, a Yetzirah malach, starts to go up that ladder. And he goes past 50. And he goes past 52 steps, and he keeps on going. And he goes past 70. And he goes past 100. And he goes past 120. And there are more and more steps up the ladder, and he's going and going up, 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 past 500, past 1,000, past 1,500, and past 2,000. And Yaakov is feeling a great fear. He's very scared because that malach is just going and going. And on him is the word Edoim, the galus of Edoim. As we know, Esav was called Edoim, red. And Adam is in Hebrew, Edoim. And Yaakov is thinking, this galus is going on for more than 2,000 years. When is it going to end? All of a sudden, he sees at the top of the ladder, where is that ladder going? On the top of the ladder is the door, the gate of Mashiach. Oh, Yaakov says, Mashiach will come, he'll come to the world, and he'll take the Yidden out of Galus. There'll be the Geula. Ah, Mashiach will come. He for sure will throw that Yetzirah Malach off the ladder and stop that terrible Galus. Where's Mashiach already? The door is not opening. The gate of Mashiach is not opening yet. And the Malach keeps going. Uh-oh, Yaakov says, uh-oh. If that Malach gets up the top of the ladder and he gets to the gate before Mashiach comes through that door, uh-oh, he might make trouble and maybe even Chas V'Shalom stop Mashiach from coming. I hope that Malach does not stop Mashiach from coming. All of a sudden, the Yetzihara Malach of Edoim, he's still going up and up, he's getting very close to the door, and he reaches into his pockets and he's smiling, laughing his head off, and he pulls out a big gigantic lock, and he pulls out a big thing of glue, and he says, ha ha, I'm going to stop Mashiach from coming. I'm going to go to that door, I'm going to put the big lock on there, I'm going to put glue all over it so you can't even get the lock open with anything, and I'm going to get glue, and I'm going to put a wire, and I'm going to get more locks and all kinds of things and nails. I'm going to take my hammer and my screwdriver and screws, and put screws in the door and nails and glue and locks and wire, and I'm going to make it shut and close and put cement on it and bricks and finished, and Mashiach will never come. I'll have the Eden in Galus forever. I'll be the boss of the Eden, the Yetzihara Malach. Forget about Mashiach. I'm going to be the boss of the Jews. Edoim. I'll get up there. And Yaakov notices, well, there is a lock. There's not a lock. There's like a place for a key to open up the gate. There must be a way to open up that gate from the inside. Surely Mashiach knows how to do that. But it looks like also there's a place for the key on the outside. That if one would have the key to open up that gate from the outside, that could also bring Mashiach. But wait a minute, if the Yetzirah Malach gets there first, he's got all that glue and all that stuff and steel wool and junk. He's going to probably plug up that lock that the key can get in, and he's going to make trouble. Yaakov says, I wish the key to open up that gate would get there before the Yetzirah Malach gets there. Oh, what's going to happen? He thinks to himself, wait a minute, and Mashiach has the way to open the door from the inside. Who has the way to open the door from the outside? Who do you think? Who do you think? Who do you think has the way to open the door from the outside? Could you guess? Who do you think would have the key?
The Yetzirah.
I don't think that the Yetzirah would have a key to bring Mashiach. It looks like he wants to stop Mashiach from coming, Chas V'Shalom. Who do you think would have the key to open up the door from the outside?
Hashem.
Well, Hashem could probably open it up even without a key. A key is a thing that a person might have. A person probably would have a key. Probably the Abishter doesn't need a key. Who do you think would have the key to open up the door?
Mashiach.
Mashiach is on the inside. Maybe he has his key, but there's a In other words, like this. Doors have a keyhole from the inside, so you put the key from the inside. If there's one from the outside, it means that there's a way from the outside. Mashiach is not on the outside. If he would be on the outside, he'd be here. He's on the inside. Who would have it from the outside?
The Malach.
Malachim also don't need keys. If you remember when Malach Gavriel came to Paro's palace to do his job, he didn't come through the door, he didn't need keys, he went right through the walls and through the ceiling, and he showed up even without going through the door, without going through a window. Malach doesn't need a key to go somewhere. They just show up and they're there, finished. L'chatchila Reber. Who do you think has the key to open up the door to bring Mashiach? Who do you think?
Us.
Us. Who's us?
Me and you.
Yeah, me and you. In other words, the Yidden. The Yidden. What? What was that?
And every Jew.
Every Jew, exactly. Every Yid. Shh. Okay, every Yid has his little key, and the Jewish people together put their little keys together and make the big key, and that is going to open the door to bring Mashiach. Now, let us think. What are the little keys that we have that this is going to open the door to bring Mashiach? If you'd like to come up and say something, you raise your hand, because there are different little keys that we know the Torah says, this is a thing that will help bring Mashiach. For example, we say, Tztaka mekareves es ha-geula. It says in the Gemara, this is a thing that is a key to bring the geula. What is it? Giving tztaka. That's a key that when you give tztaka, it's a key that opens the door to bring Mashiach and the geula. What are some other things that are definitely connected with bringing Mashiach? What are things that we can do? It's a key to bring Mashiach.
Turn to Philip and give tzedakah and do Torah mitzvahs.
Well, that's a big, big key for sure. Tefillin and tzedakah and doing Torah mitzvahs, that for sure helps bring Mashiach.
Kiss the mezuzah.
Well, that certainly couldn't hurt. I mean, it's a good thing to do.
Keeping Shabbos and cheer.
Keeping Shabbos. It says if Yidden would keep one Shabbos, according to the halacha, Mashiach would be here, for sure. That's what the Torah says.
Listen to the Torah.
Okay, listen to the Torah. Do everything the Torah says.
Ahavas Yisrael.
Ahavas Yisrael, that for sure, Kinalach. Ahavas Yisrael for sure is going to help bring Mashiach. When we, even when you don't like somebody, in other words, Ahavas Yisrael doesn't mean, oh, I like my friend anyway, so that's Ahavas Yisrael. That's also a part of it. But even if you don't necessarily like somebody, and you don't even necessarily know somebody, and you put the feeling aside that you don't like them, and you anyway are nice to them, and help them, and be good to them, this for sure helps bring Mashiach. That's really Ahavas Yisrael. Okay, who else wants to tell us something that would be a key to open up the lock to bring Mashiach before the Yetzer Hara, Chas V'Shalom would go over there and make trouble with his glue and locks and wires and all of his nails and screws?
Kibud Av Ve'Eim.
Kibud Av Ve'Eim for sure is connected with being in Eretz Yisrael and respecting Hashem and all kinds of big things, and it's one of the Aseres HaDibrois, and there's all kinds of brachas in Kibud Av Ve'Eim, 100%.
Listening to your mother.
Okay, that is kibud aim, even your father, for sure.
Share
is a part of Ahavas Yisrael, 100%.
Listen to somebody that's older than you.
Okay, very good. Respect for older people. Smiling and laughing. Simcha, that's right. Happy. Simcha peretz geder. 100%. Happiness breaks all the boundaries and all the walls and brings Mashiach closer. That's great. Simcha. The big smile on his face. I wish I had a video in this microphone and everybody could see your big smile and you're laughing because it's so cute and nice. And singing, right.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, good.